This week's parsha, we're told about the tremendous sin, the chet me meriva of Moshe and the rock that was giving off water, stopped giving off water. The Jewish people complained, we've no water in the desert anymore, it's better to go back to Mitzrayim and die over there. And Moshe did something wrong in that episode. And the Mefarshim give many reasons as to what it was that Moshe did wrong. The Or Chaim HaKadosh quotes 10 different opinions regarding what was the sin of Moshe. Rashi writes, this is the most well-known explanation, says that Hashem told to Moshe, take your staff and go speak to the rock. And when you speak to the rock will give forth water. And Moshe hit the rock instead of speaking to the rock. And that was his sin. But the Ramban argues, he says, I don't get it. He says, if Hashem told him to take his staff, obviously he's supposed to use it. So what's the big deal? He spoke, he hit it instead of speaking to it. He was supposed to take the stick. What else he supposed to do with the stick? So not only that, but the first time this rock gave off water 40 years beforehand, in the beginning of the travels of Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar, Moshe did hit the rock, and that's how the water came out. So what's the difference between back then, when he was supposed to hit the rock for the water to come out, and now that he's supposed to speak to the rock and have the water come out? So the Ramban says that can't be Moshe Rabbeinu's sin. And therefore the Ramban goes on to give another explanation. The Rambam gives a different explanation. But Rav Yosef Albo, the author of the Sefer Ikrim, he lived in the end of the 1300s, the beginning of the 1400s, he says as follows. He says, what was the big deal? Why was it that Moshe was supposed to speak to the rock instead of hitting the rock? Again, that's how he got the water out of the rock the first time, by hitting the rock. What's the difference? And he says, this is one of the Ikrei Amuna, one of the basic tenets of our belief. This is what we're supposed to believe in Judaism. And that is that the Torah, learning of the Torah, embracing the Torah, has the power to overcome the natural order of the world. So what? The first time the water came out of the rock, that was before the Jewish people received the Torah. And the only way to overcome nature, it's not natural for water to come out of a rock, the only way for that miracle to happen was by exhibiting force. We know that force could change nature, right? Water could go in one way, you could force it a different way. We could forcefully change nature. So, of course, it was a miracle, but an act of hitting, of force, of koach, had to occur in order for the water to come out of the rock. However, 40 years later, that was after the Torah was given, the Jewish people were now on a different level. They embodied the study of Torah. And Moshe and Aaron had the opportunity at this point to show them that by simply speaking to the rock, the Medrash even says, learn a Mishnah. That's what the Medrash says Moshe should have done. Learn a Mishnah next to the rock. Learning some Torah by the rock, and watch, no force at all. The water is just going to come straight out. That would have been an opportunity of tremendous Kiddush Hashem, sanctifying Hashem's name, to show that Hashem's Torah naturally overcomes the natural order of the world. And that was what Moshe and Aaron missed out on, and that was their sin. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh writes the same idea regarding a different question. We know one of the greatest miracles of all time was Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the Red Sea, or the Sea of Reeds. Yet, the Gemara says in Maseches Chulin and Dav Zayin that Pinchas ben Yair, one of the Tanayim, was walking by the river and he needed to get to the other side and the river just split. And he walked right through. Ask Or HaChaim HaKadosh, I don't understand. How can you say that Kriyas Yamsuf was one of the greatest miracles of all time if for the Tanayim it was just splitting left and right? And he answers, no, it's simply, Kriyas Yamsuf was before the Torah was given. Before the Torah was given for a sea to split wall. That's a miracle of the greatest magnitude. But after the Torah is given, if someone embodies the Torah, he lives a life of Torah, he studies Torah, so nature just moves over for such a person. It's one of the rules of the world that nature bends for those who study Torah. And Rabbi Reber actually showed me this. Rabbi Chetzkel Abramsky, in the Chazon Yecheskel, in the Tosefta of Sota, he writes as follows. He says, Kriyas Yamsuf, how did the water split? How did that happen? One opinion is Nachshon ben Aminadav had to jump in. Another opinion, the Medrash says, is when the Jewish people, they actually started walking, and when the water was about to get to their nose, that's when it split. But when the Jewish people entered Eretz Yisrael, and they had to cross the Yarden, they just put their toe inside the water, and the whole thing just opened. So why? Why was such an act required to split the Yam Suf, but to walk into Eretz Yisrael was just, they just strolled right in through the water, and the water split. And he says the same idea. He says that because before Kriyas Yam Suf, that was before the Torah was given. The Yarden, when they crossed the Jordan River to enter Eretz Yisrael, that was after the Torah was given. You don't need force. Miracles just happen naturally. The nature bends for those people who embody the Torah. And Reb Chaim Volozhiner uses this idea to explain a very complicated Gemara. The Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos and Daf Nun Gimel Amid Beis, read the Gemara. Tanur Rabbanan, Maisa Be'echad. There was a guy, Shemesa Ishto. Rechman al-Islam, his wife passed away. V'hinicha ben Lyonik. And she left a son. They had a child who needed to nurse. They didn't have a mother. V'lo hayalo schar minika. He didn't have money to hire a wet nurse. Litain. V'nasa lo nis. A miracle happened to this man. V'niftachu lo dadin kishnei dadei isha v'hinik esbino. A miracle occurred and he himself was able to nurse the baby. Wow. That's what Rav Yosef says. I'm Rav Yosef. Bo'ore, kama gadol adam zeh. This man is a giant. Shenasa lo nizkir zeh. Such a miracle happened to him. Wow, that's amazing. Amalei Abaye. Abaye said adaraba. The exact opposite. Kama garua adam zeh. He's a low-level person. Shenishtanu lo sidre bereshis. That God had to go ahead and switch around the natural order of the world. For him, it's garua, it's bad. It's not the way it's supposed to be. So asks the Tosfos Yeshanim on the side of the Gemara. He says, the Medrash tells us that Mordechai raised Esther. Esther lost her parents, Mordechai raised Esther. And the Medrash says that a miracle occurred and Mordechai was able to nurse Esther. But yet we never find anywhere Abaye, or anyone else for that matter, say, Kama Garua, how low level is Mordechai? Mordechai! He was the most righteous person. He was a big tzaddik. We never see anyone say, oh, he was a nothing because he was able to nurse Esther. So what's the difference? Why is it that here Abaye has problems with this man in the Gemara, but for Mordechai, no one seems to be bothered? Answers of Chaim Volozhiner. If you can look it up, it's actually a longer piece with a lot of sources. It's in a sefer called Alios Eliyahu, in a section called Mailas Hasulam, page 35, note 19. Okay. So he says over there, if you look at the Gemara, most stories, very often, we talk about righteous people in the Gemara, it says, Maisa bechassid echad. There was a chassid, a righteous individual, that a certain story occurred. Here, the Gemara goes out of its ordinary way, different language. It says, Maisa be'echad. There was a guy. Says of Chaim Volozhiner, this person wasn't a chassid. He wasn't a person who was on a high level, who embodied Torah. He was a regular guy. And for a regular guy, for such a supernatural thing to occur to him, that's garua. That's not supposed to be. Regular people live a regular life with nature guiding them. But Mordechai, Mordechai was a Torah giant. Mordechai was someone who embodied the Torah. So for him, it's normal for these supernatural events to occur. It's not garua, it's not bad. God doesn't have to change the way of the world. That is the way of the world. The way of the world is that nature bends when it comes to people who study the Torah. The Maral points out in Tiferes Yisrael and Perek Beis two different places in Tehillim where this manifests itself. We've mentioned a few times that the number 7 represents the natural order of the world, and the number 8 represents above the natural order of the world. So in Perek Yates of Tehillim, chapter 19, the first 7 psukim discuss various natural elements of the world. And the 8th pasuk is Toras Hashem Temima, words that we're familiar with. Because Toras Hashem Temima in the 8th pasuk is the Torah is number 8. Torah represents above the nature of the world. Similarly, in Kufiyates 1:19, there's an eightfold alphabetical arrangement describing the ceaseless striving to live a life of Torah, regardless of time, place, your circumstances. And why is it eightfold? All of Kufiyates, a long parak of Tehillim. The Maharal says, because Torah is 8. It transcends nature. It has to be in the realm of 8 above 7. There's a story that Rishon Shvadran told over that someone named Shmuel Elkin was at Rav Shalom Shvadran's daughter's Sheva Brachos. And Rav Elkin got up at Rav Shvadran's daughter's Sheva Brachos and said the following story. And he said he was there when it happened. The town of Dvinsk was in Latvia, and it was by the Dvina River. Divina River. And the river was a very, very big river. And in order for it not to overflow the city, they had banks, walls that protected the whole area. And just in case there'd be a big rain or flood or something like that, there were pipes, a whole pipe system that ran through the wall so that if the water would actually rise, the water would go through the pipes and wouldn't destroy, it would never overflow the banks. One time, there was a massive storm, and the water started rising very, very significantly. And the people in the town were very nervous, because it was going very quickly, and it was starting to get over the pipeline, at which point, the water wasn't funneling out enough, it was going to overflow, and like we've seen places that have floods, overflow the entire city. So all the people of the town got nervous, they went to the priest. And they said, "You got to help us. We're in a lot of trouble." And he went to see what was going on. And the priest said, "There's no one that can help us except for Meir Simcha of Dvinsk, the Meshech Chachma, the Or Sameach." And they went to find him. He was in the Beis Medrash, and the priest went to go get him. And it was known that Meir Simcha gave a lot of advice to the non-Jewish leaders in Dvinsk. So they went for his advice, and he came out. And he went over onto a bridge that was over the river. And Rav Shmuel Elkin was standing there with him. And they saw the water going up and up, and everyone's petrified. And Rav Meir Simcha got up there and he said, "I demand that the water stop." And nothing happened. He said, "I demand with the power of Torah that the water stop." And all of a sudden, the water started going down. And all the non-Jews were there. Rav Shmuel Elkin was there. He heard him say these words. And he said over the story. And it's not that he was a miracle worker, but that is the natural order of the world. If we embody the Torah, we study the Torah, we live by the Torah, nature bends for us. That's just what happens. The story that's said over, I think, in smaller classes. But Rav Chaim Knievsky wrote a sefer on a lot of things. And he has a sefer on grasshoppers. It's called the Karnei Chagavim. If you want to know all the laws of grasshoppers, you could open it up. And while he was writing the sefer on the grasshoppers, he needed to see what a grasshopper looked like. And on Rehov Rashbam 23 in Bnei Brak, there aren't so many grasshoppers over there. All of a sudden, a grasshopper jumped on his windowsill and stayed there while he wrote his sefer. He was able to describe it based on what was over there. And this story, Rebbetzin Knievsky, Elva Shalom, told this to my wife and a bunch of students of hers once, that this is what happened. It was an amazing thing. Wow, really exciting story. Great. After the story was out, the book came out, Rav Chaim Knievsky bumped into a professor. And after one of my classes once, in the World Center when I said over the story, a student actually came over to me afterwards and he said, my uncle was the professor. He was a professor in Bar-Ilan and he met Reb Chaim Kanievsky and he said, I read your book, Karnei Chagavim, and you made a mistake in the description of the grasshopper. And Reb Chaim Kanievsky was beside himself. He wrote a whole sefer based on halacha, and he had, you know, a miracle happened over there. He saw the grasshopper and he depicted the wrong anatomy of it was a big problem. And at that moment, a grasshopper came in between him and the professor. They were able to pick it up and study it. And the professor said, you know what? Actually, you're right. You described it in the right way. So it's absolutely an amazing story. But it shouldn't surprise us because that's normal. Someone who embodies the Torah, lives the life of Torah, is elevated to a supernatural plane of existence. And it's something that's very important for us. And we sit here, we're learning day in and day out. Sometimes it can become like regular. Yeah, this is what we do. We come, we have to push hard, we have to work hard sometimes. We don't appreciate what we're doing. Even if someone only has a half an hour to learn. But we're living with Hashem's wisdom. When we're learning, we're elevating ourselves above the natural order of the world. When we teach people, when we show other people the beauty of Torah, we're not just letting them know something that we enjoyed. You know, you read a good book, let's share it. We're helping them elevate above the natural order of the world. It's something extremely powerful. And if we would appreciate that, I believe, speaking to myself, it would help us elevate, push us higher and higher and higher, that we will live with how we're supposed to be living, with this beautiful gem of the Torah, to live in the supernatural way. Shabbos.